Good morning, Life Creek Church. It is Sunday, April 26th, and it was good when they said to me, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." And this is our house right now, isn't it? What does that mean? Go unto the house of the Lord. That's what we're talking about today. What is the house of the Lord? What is the church? And what is my part in it? So I want to share with you today, and I hope you'll indulge me because I'm going to throw in some pictures of the church in Bolivia, and so perhaps we'll have a little fun with it, okay? So this morning, we are talking about the church. Who is it, and what part do I play? And there's your church, our church. It is good to see it, and I'm sure you miss it, but the church is not to be contained in a building, is it? It is much bigger than that. So let's go ahead and enter into prayer. And we're going to discuss how relevant is the church today, especially in these times. And what if these times continue to persist? Will the church be relevant? I'm going to answer that. And I'm sure you know my answer is going to be yes. But how? We'll talk about that, okay? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, come, Lord. Come, Lord God, teach us about your church. Teach us about being a believer, being in community together, being your disciple, being doers of the word, not just hearers only this morning, Lord. Lead us and guide us and help us to experience more of you today, right where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, let's go ahead and get started this morning with the church. Who is it and what part do I play? And our anchor scripture verse is this. And I tell you, you are Peter. This is Jesus talking. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. I have spoken about this scripture before and told you that this is the first time in scripture, the word church is used. Now, you know, prior to that, we have synagogue, temple, things like that, but we don't have the word church. So this is a first. As you probably know, church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and ekklesia is a compound word from ek, which it means out of, and kaleo, which means called. And so when you put that together, ekklesia means called out ones, okay? The called out ones. Called out from where? Well, you're called out from the kingdom of darkness into his light. You are called out of this world into his kingdom. We are of this world. I mean, we're in this world. Sorry, we're in this world, but not of it. Amen? We are of the kingdom of God. And the word church here, notice also that church is called out ones. It is not an individual. We're not talking about the gates of hell will not prevail against an individual because we need each other. When I went to Bolivia, we had prayer partners. I had a board that sent us, that guided us, that helped us, that I could always count on for prayer. One time I was in the hospital and very ill, and I had gone into a coma, and it was like 2 a.m. here, and Rhonda was reaching out for people here. She was looking for prayer partners, people to agree that I would come out of this coma, and she called for our friends here to pray with her, and there, and people prayed everywhere, and it was a wonderful miracle. When I came out of that, to know how many people all over the world were actually praying for me. And so wonderful experience where I needed the church. So while this is the first time in the Bible that ekklesia is used, it was used prior to this to mean when the generals were calling out fighters from the towns. They were called out to go to war. And isn't this a war image? Let's take a look at it again. This is a warrior type image, right? I will build my church. I will grow up my called out ones. I will put them together. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Those are fighting words. Gates of hell not prevail. This is warrior mentality. So I would say unto us that we are called out of this world to attack the kingdom of darkness and rescue souls from it. Amen. Well, I know that's a big start. That's a big dramatic start. So we are talking about who or what is the church? What part do I play in it? Is it relevant today, especially in this time? And do we need it? We're going to look at all of that today. But first, I want you to indulge me a little bit while I entertain maybe myself and hopefully you a little bit with what is the church? First of all, let me just say it is not a building. And we're going to discuss that more in a minute. But I want to show you who the church is, who your brothers and sisters are in Bolivia, because they are the church as well. And of course, we'll start out with a building, because this is in Plaza San Francisco in the city of La Paz. And this church was built originally in the 1500s. It had to be rebuilt in the 1700s after a huge snow collapsed part of it. But it's interesting, the Catholics at the time that came through with the gospel had the indigenous people kind of brought into slavery to make this building. And in the bricks, and you can still see it today, in the bricks, they have images of their gods, their animistic gods. They put in the brick as they were building it. So, kind of interesting on that. But let's go on. This is Pastor Juan. Pastor Juan and I work very close in Bolivia. We are actually having a church meeting, and he's giving me an award. We're having a great time. And this was a big celebration because we were in the process of planting a church, and there is no building yet. We meet in these little tiny buildings here and there, but they didn't have really a building big enough to hold many people. So we're outside, and you can see the blue kind of hue over everything. That's because of those blue plastic tarps. That's what we're having church under, and there's probably 50 people out there, 50 to 100 maybe. And they were dancing and singing. The music was playing, and we were having church. So it was very interesting. And out of that, we had some baptisms. This is a baptism of the people. You can see we're out in the middle of nowhere. It's very cold, by the way, because we're at 2.5 miles above sea level. And we actually had to dig this hole for the water to flow into so that we could submerge somebody in a baptism. This is the way that they wanted to be baptized. They had the choice of being sprinkled, dipped, dunked. That's what we call it. And they said, let's do it this way. We want to do it in running water. So we dug that hole and baptized people, bringing them into the church. And here's one of the buildings that they were building. I'll try not to spend too much time on this. This is another church, a church partner. This is Wilson and his family, Pastor Wilson. And he is in Oruro. He is the pastor of this church. It's Canadian Baptist. Another church here, one of the things that I wanted to point out, that the Bolivians are not big on singing, but they are big on dancing. And here they're dancing before the Lord, praise and worship. Here they are in praise and prayer. This is a youth conference. And you might say, well, some of these guys are pretty old. You're a youth in Bolivia until you're 35 or until you get married, whichever comes first. So the people gather together, the youth gather together and pray together. Look at them in earnest prayer. It's a beautiful thing. It is the church in prayer. This is in the city of La Paz. This is Pastor Obed. And his church plant began in this building, which is underneath a printing company, and we would get together and worship the Lord and have church down there. Here is the church in Kalakachi. Kalakachi is a village that you couldn't get to completely by car. If you did, you had to drive across the creek when the creek was very low. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And Pastor Juan, again, on the right, would come out to this village a couple of times a month to lead a service. This is a little boy in a village getting his first little Bible, his little New Testament in Spanish. This is me in, I was also a chaplain in a ministry called Word Made Flesh, and it is a ministry that reaches out to women caught in prostitution. And this ministry has people from Argentina, people from the United States, Bolivians, even Spain was represented there. About 30 people worked there to rescue women caught in prostitution in Bolivia. And believe me, there are a lot of women caught in that kind of lifestyle. Oh, this is a Seder feast, which is kind of a Passover celebration. This is a our band. We had a band called Blood Brothers, and this is in a church in El Alto. And this is Pastor Richard. He's the pastor of that church. So, again, I want to go back to the scripture and say that this is a warfare, that you are called out as the church to go against the gates of hell. You know, other scriptures point to this battle as, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against principalities and powers, authorities in high places, rulers of wickedness and darkness, okay? And that is the calling of the church. The calling of the church is to go against that. We are here to go against Satan and his realm. We are to pray against the virus. We are to go against enemies and bring people into the kingdom of God. This is not political. It is not a fleshly attack. It is spiritual. I want to give you some images. Some images of the church that is in scripture. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, talking about the church. And the metaphor of the church is a body. And I know you've heard this before. Can we all be thumbs? No. Can we all be a mouth? No. But we all have a part to play. We are the body. Christ is the head. 1 Peter 2, 4, 5. We've seen this verse a couple times lately. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5. Now, let's stop there for a second, and let me explain. That sounds like a building, doesn't it? That's a metaphor. We are all are stones in this building. We each put this building together. There is no singularity, and sometimes we miss that. That the church is always pictured as community. We are a community that needs each other. Let me go back to that scripture and get the last one on that page. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 27. And that metaphor there is the wife of the Lord, the bride of Christ. So here we see these metaphors all again in community. Now, one of the things that's going on now, and that I have heard in the past, there was this blog this fellow wrote, and he said, listen, I get all the preaching I need at home anytime I want to hear the word. I just find a sermon I'm interested in. I click on that, and I could have preaching on the word of God. Why do I need to go to church? It is not relevant for today. Several things wrong with that blog. One, he's looking at the church as an individual because he has no community relationship with other people. Secondly, he is picking out the sermon for the day. Now, as a pastor, and I know if anyone else has pastored a church, you recognize that, you know, you just don't preach what you want to. I'm seeking the Lord. What does our body need for today? What is it that you want to say, Lord? What is it that needs to be spoken? And I believe that God leads us to that. So it isn't something you pick out yourself for yourself as an individual. This is a message that's going to all of us at Life Creek. I'm hoping that it is an encouragement. It's something we need to hear, that we can be encouraged. Even though we're out here by ourselves, we are not by ourselves. We are in community and in relationship with one another. And you cannot get that by picking out sermons. Now, let me just say, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with hearing as much word as you can. Sometimes that could be confusing because there are different opinions, as you know. But there's nothing wrong with hearing someone else talk about the Lord and their experiences, and that's good. But we need to come together as a group. And we need to ask one another, hey, what do you think about this? I heard this. What do you think this passage says? Things like that. And the Bible also talks about us speaking to one another in hymns and spiritual songs, even singing one to another. My wife's family gets online about once a week. Sometimes we skip, and we each pick out a worship song. And the first week, we all played, because all of us play an instrument. So we all played and sang, but the recording wasn't very good. So the next week, we came together, and we just downloaded YouTubes, and we sang together, and we worshiped together, because we're family. We're a church, and Frank and Sabrina are downloading songs for us to worship with. And that's important. It's important to worship God. It is something that we want to do more together, and we will move to that. But, you know, it's important for us to work as a group and to be community. Let me move forward. Now, what is the purpose of the church? And I'm referring to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 46 here. What is the purpose of the church? So let's look at this. Luke recorded this event, and he said, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. That is a wonderful, wonderful scripture there. They were still meeting in a temple building, but they would get together and they would discuss the scriptures. They would have communion together. That is the breaking of bread. That's what is the reference there. But they also ate together. Isn't that great? I mean, I love that about our church, and we get together and eat together. I love that. That is a time of great fellowship. It is a time to be intimate with one another, to where we could share things, and that's very important. That part we can't do right now, but we will be able to, and we still can get together like this and share scriptures, share with each other. And you may have noticed on Friday, you know, I share three times a week. Usually it's a 5 minute or less. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you've been getting these emails from me. And on Friday, it was about 10 minutes, because the last 5 minutes I shared interesting movies and interesting books with you. So I want you to take some time and share with me, okay? Frank and I got into a discussion, really, because he had seen Into the Spear. And so we started talking about it, and I actually know the guy who wrote Into the Spear, and have had a lot of contact with him. He was a missionary. He was, if you've seen Into the Spear, there's a little boy in that movie, is a son of the missionary. That's him. And he's 69 now, and he's in the States, and he still works with missionary groups. He's pretty much retired because he did have a stroke a few years ago. But, you know, it is great to share these things. If you have not seen Into the Spear, see it. If you don't know what I'm talking about with the recommendations, it's because you didn't watch on Friday. Go back and look at it, and you'll see I've picked out three books, three movies. Just something to share. It's to encourage you in your faith. And I'm going to continue to do that each day. For the next few days, that I will also recommend another movie or another book about missionaries. And I think it's just missionaries. So you may want to tune that in. But this is a wonderful picture. And they had things in common. They also shared. Now, it's not instructive that we all have to sell what we have and distribute it one to another. At this time, there were some very hard times going on in Jerusalem, and there were some great needs. Now, that is happening with us. Is there anyone in our church who is unemployed because of this virus, who is in great need? Have you reached out to them? We got to stay in contact with one another. This is how we are the church, and we can help one another. When you go to the store and you're buying that toilet paper, buy one extra if they let you at the store, and take it to someone else who's in need. It might be your neighbor. So I'm answering that question, is the church relevant? Maybe never as much as it has been. Today it is possibly more relevant, because we can reach out to others. We can still reach out to our neighbors. We can still call each other on the phone. What happens when we're in need of prayer? We've had some people in our congregations in need of prayer, and we've talked about that. We've prayed, and they've come through it. And we need to continue to pray, okay? Continue to touch base with one another. This is how the church is the church. What if this never goes away? Does that mean the church is over? No, not at all. Because see, the church is not a building. We don't have to meet in that building. We can still meet with one another on Zoom. We can still call one another on the phone. And we can still minister one to another and to our neighbors. This is a time to reach others with the word, okay? We are very relevant now. And of course, we believe that we will be back together soon. But frankly, we don't know what things are going to look like exactly. We need each other more than ever. And we need to be helping those in need, especially in our own congregation, and then reach out. So I'm going to go a little further, and I'm going to take some risks about what the church should look like or could look like or might need to look like, and you can have your opinion on that. I started thinking when we had that winter vortex last year, you remember that, where it was so bitterly cold and that people were dying? I wondered to myself, what are happening to the homeless? And in my neighborhood, I noticed the churches all closed up, and I thought, is this the time we should close? Perhaps this is the time we should open. Have the doors open. Even tell the news media, if the homeless need a place to go, let them come to my church today. Let them come to my house today. Those are some hard things to think about, isn't it? I say that, and I have a young man who had no place to go, and he's been living with me since the beginning of this coronavirus, and now he can't go home. He has a sister who has challenges, and their family has completely shut the door to their house and are staying isolated to protect mainly her. He can't go back to his family. He's been living with me for a couple months now, and I guess he'll still be here. He's a fine young man. Fortunately, he's a really good guy, and we're glad to have him. But sometimes, you know, you got to make yourself uncomfortable. I'm just saying. All right, so let's go on. And I want to share with you a little bit more. How do you become part of the church? Well, here, this is after Peter was preaching. It says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So you believe and you're baptized. Now, let us just say, I don't want to over-accentuate baptism. Baptism is not salvific. You don't become saved through baptism. But when you are saved, when you become a believer, baptism is important. I don't want to underplay that either. Baptism is important. You are baptized, and it is the announcement that you are of the community of believers, the church. So I do want to encourage people in that as well. So what do we do now? Well, let's take a look at what the church has done. Together, the church is devoted to prayer. We can all do that. To serving each other, to grow up together into a maturity in Christ, and to make disciples together, and also to attack the gates of hell and defeat the enemy together. I don't know that any of those things have been done to the extent that we don't need to do that anymore. That's something we need to continue to do, and we do that together. The church is important, and it is relevant today. But what's your part? How do you find your part within the church? Let's start with these four essentials to find where you belong and what you can do for the church and for God. First, pray. Ask God how you're fulfilling your role in the church. Your role is not just to occupy a seat. Talk to the pastor. Say, "Pastor, I want to be more involved." Well, that would be me at the moment. I would say, talk to Frank, since I am on temporary for you. Temporary. I'm permanently a part of you. If you didn't want me to be a part of your church, too late. You are my brothers and sisters, right? And you study the Bible and begin with service to the church as a whole and to each other. So start serving. Say, you know what? I can pick up, I can fold up these chairs if they need to be folded up. I can help with the coffee in the morning. I can, you know, when we come back together. Or right now, you know what you could do for the church? Call other members, encourage them, talk a good story about some time you were together. Be an encouragement, okay? This is what we can do. This is where we start with one another. Is the church relevant today? Very. And like I said, maybe more than ever. We need each other. And the world needs us, quite frankly. I do believe it is because of our prayers that this virus has been restrained. I believe the numbers are better than what were anticipated because we've prayed. I believe God is answering our prayers. And we've prayed as a group all over the world, believers. They might be in different denominations. But denominations, listen, a quarter is a denomination of a dollar. It is still just a part. It's still good. Okay? So even though it's not a dime, and a dime's not a quarter, they each have a part to play in the dollar. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that our brothers and sisters who don't believe exactly the way we do about certain issues, well, they believe in Jesus. And they've become believers. They've become part of the church. They're your brothers and sisters. And we need to hold them up in prayer, encourage them, not fight with them, right? And let's not bring out doctrinal differences. Of course, we believe that we're right. Of course. Otherwise, it would be silly for us to come to this church. And they believe they are right. And you know what? My guess is we're a lot right and a lot wrong in every single place. But what we're not wrong about is that Jesus died for us to bring us into his kingdom, for us to worship him as king together. We believe he died. He rose from the dead. And now we have life in him. Amen. You're the church. I'm the church. We're relevant. I'm asking you to pray and see what is your part. One thing that I will say before I end, sometimes I have people come up to me when I've been pastoring in different places and they'll complain. You know what this church needs? This church needs whatever. Needs a guitar player. You know what my answer is? Can you play guitar? Well, that should be you. So let's see what's right with our body. Let's encourage each other and find our place to make this church grow even from where we are now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, show us the way, Lord, to grow together as your church, to be your church in the world today. In the name of Jesus, Father, we agree at holding back this virus that it will not take numerous lives. Father, let's end it today. We just ask you, Lord, let your kingdom break into this world and stop it. Father, encourage us to encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, write me, send me a text, send me a message, because I've been sending you a message and I'm doing all the talking. Send me a message. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me a good movie you've watched. Tell me a good book, okay? And God bless you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.